Welcome to our podcast, Adventures of a Sadist and a Slut, or ASS for short. We're not experts, just kink enthusiasts and really fun, interesting people, or so we like to think. We love to share our experience, strength, and hope. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't a 12-step meeting. It's just a platform to discuss our adventures, experiences, and viewpoints on BDSM, swinging, polyamory, power exchange, slutting out, and all things sex. Given that we get down and dirty, use profanity, and might describe dark sexual activities, if you are under 18, even though we applaud your youth and interest in this topic and encourage you to explore, please consider this podcast to be R to X rated and act accordingly. Other disclaimers include, don't take this too seriously, don't try this at home unless you are safe, sane, and consensual, and feel free to visit our website at www.321events.com, that's www.3TO1events.com, to follow us or ask questions or offer topics you'd like to hear. So, on with the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Adventures of a Sadist and a Slut, episode 2.
Hey, everybody. We are back.
This is this episode is called Meeting Your Match, so we thought we would spend a little time discussing how we came together and how we deepened our relationship and navigated some of the issues that are maybe unique to BDSM, but maybe not. Maybe something that everyone can relate to.
Absolutely. And, you know, what it's like to sort of navigate not only the BDSM relationship, but stepping into the collared and owned space, which adds some pretty interesting dynamics.
It does. It does. So I guess we'll start from I was on FetLife. And I was hosting a party and I came across your profile. And for me, I really only play with black men. And so there's very few black men, or I guess I should say, not to generalize, but what I found is that a lot of men in general will call themselves Dom, but then when you start talking, they don't have a toy, they don't haven't read a book, they haven't taken a class. So, you know, how serious are they? That was my experience.
And, you know, that's not really something that I considered so much, you know, coming from sort of the other side. Nowadays, I feel like when we go to fetish events, we talk to great people and we meet, you know, an aspiring sub just looking for a good dom. And it's tough out there.
I mean, it is.
You know, like, I'm very much the textbook, the procedural, sort of that cerebral type of dom. And, you know, there are the other types out there as well. And, you know, you do what you do, but it is very confusing sometimes because we don't even, you know, when you're new to this space, you don't even understand perhaps what the distinctions mean and everything. So yeah, it's tough out there.
And I think I mentioned before, you know, like I would sexually submit in a scene, but I didn't really have any attachment. So that was my challenge, the attachment part of it, and what I've been really seeking.
Especially when you're not necessarily with your sort of intellectual style of dom versus just, you know, whatever we call it, sort of physical dom. So then you, if you are sort of the submissive that needs that extra connection, then that's pretty difficult.
It really is. So I saw your profile, and to be honest, you know, you're 37 and I'm 53, so add your label on there, you get to, you can pick, and you were sadist, and there was a part of me that was terrified of a sadist, of someone who enjoys inflicting pain. And yet there was a part of me that was really intrigued and interested in a sadist.
Yeah, and that seems to be, I've definitely noticed that it's pretty interesting how you almost perk up when you find that connection, you find that sadist, you know, you're a pain slut or you're a submissive and you like sort of the sadism piece, you're a masochist, and you talk to someone who is a sadist, and it's just like sort of that moment, like, oh, and I don't know, you almost like sort of, you know, your pussy tingles or your, you know, your dick tingles a little bit because you're like, oh, well, this is fucking excellent right here.
Right. Well, I never would have identified as a pain slut or even a masochist. I think I would identify as that now, but I didn't at the time. So I wrote to you and I was like, hey, I don't know if you like older women, but I'm hosting a party Saturday night, you know, might you want to come?
Yeah. And I, you know, it's funny. I mean, I didn't really think much about, you know, the age difference. And, you know, I've absolutely, had the pleasure of some women that were, certainly, a little older than I was, and I don't even think twice about it. It's just fun as fun, and, you know, finding suitable partners, you find sort of, honestly, all kinds. So when she wrote me, I checked out her pictures, I checked out your profile, and I was very excited because what I've come to find is that in this space, it's hard to find people who are just into all the things that you're in. You know, we find ourselves so deep-rooted in our fetishes. Even as we're evolving, we still, you know, as a sadist, you know, in the last episode, of course, I mentioned that I was probably a sadist at, like, age 7 or 8. So you find yourself deep-rooted in what you're into. And, you know, for me, I'm into swinging. I love... And, you know, this isn't everything, right? But just to be basic, it's like I'm into swinging. I'm into BDSM. I also like to go camping. You know, I'm into sharing. I think the slut side of a woman can be just so fantastic, you know. That is a big thing for me. So it's just rare that you can find all of these different sort of almost, you know, meta qualities that wrap around whatever your particular role or primary fetish is. And I checked her out and she was really just saying a lot of the things that I'm into, you know, a very outgoing, a boss bitch, you know, a boss in the boardroom type of bitch, you know, professional, but also well aware of the power that she holds in her sexuality. And I just thought all of that was wonderful. And hey, by the way, I'm hosting a party, a swinger party, right? That is gonna be a good time. You're gonna have to, you know, I'm like a city guy. So, you know, I had to leave the city for it, which is questionable for me, but it just seemed right. She offered a great time and had a great profile. I hate when the profiles are just blank. You know, what are we supposed to go on if you haven't taken the time to even do a profile yet? You got 3 pictures and I guess we just go off of that. And, you know, we all at our pace. Sometimes we start as lurkers on the sites and then we start realizing who we are and we start, you know, putting those words down. But, she just had everything that I thought was great. So the next step for me was just to, you know, I wrote back and we went back and forth a little bit and I decided I was going to come out to this gathering.
This is the thing that I would just say to a lot of people, like, you got to show up. You have to take the chance. It is terrifying to, you know, Uber to the suburbs to a strange house with no one that you know. And, you know, either it's a waste of 4 hours and you go home, you're like, oh, that was bad. Or it's amazing and you meet like-minded people, or you meet one person, or you meet, you know, five people, or maybe no one, but you still really enjoy yourself. Like, half of life is showing up. So you
Exactly.
gotta take that risk.
And it's perfectly fine. Hey, sometimes you go and you say, oh, never mind. None of this was for
Of
me. I was
course.
completely wrong.
Yep.
But that was not the case for me, of course.
Not that time, anyway.
Not that time. I told a friend he was going to have to go out with me and we were going to get some drinks. And then I was just going to go do something fun. And I would, you know.
You hope you return alive.
Exactly. I check in with him to let him know I didn't die or, you know, anything crazy like that. So, I did that. The plan was executed. I got in an Uber. I showed up at the house. I told my guy not to drive off until I gave him, like, you know, the thumbs up when I got to the door. I gave him the thumbs up. I walked in and quite the scene when I walked in.
Yeah.
And there she was. I opened the door and there was the female that I now affectionately call my own sub and slut, and
I think I had my boobs out and I don't know, was sucking a dick when you walked in the door? Something.
it's possible I was too much like, holy shit, what's happening? Like, okay, pull it together. So that may have been what's happening, but next thing I knew, you stood up, you looked at me.
Well, I had said to myself, you know, when you're hosting a party and we had like 30, 35 people at my house, that I wanted to make sure that I met you and had a chance to talk to you because your profile and your sadism had just had the spark of what I had been looking for so long.
Got that tingle.
I had been single for like 10 years, really. I mean, not that I lacked sex or lacked sex partners or lacked booty call friends, or I had plenty of dick in the 10 years, but to actually give myself to someone, it had been a very long time. And so he walked in and I was like, I'm making sure that we get a connection. And so I gave you a tour and I brought you in the kitchen, gave you a shot of Fireball.
Well, that was really the moment.
You're like, that's my girl.
Yeah, you had me at Fireball. I knew it was going to be all right after that.
Yep. So I guess you did your thing, I did my thing. I kind of watched you and I was kind of, you know, busy with the 35 people that were there, but I did try to make sure that we stayed connected, and I watched you play with other women, and you were having a grand old time. You were like, I'm
Yeah, exactly. This is a moment that, you know, that was so many years in the making, and that's, you know, that's an important part too, is staying grounded, because I went there to meet you, but also this was like my first experience at a party.
by yourself.
Yeah, by myself. And so, you know, I got to have some experience, but I really was hoping, of course, as you say, to really just directly connect with you. And what was really nice is that at some point in the evening, once things calmed down, then we had, you know, we had a chance to connect a little more and
Well,
chat.
this is where I knew I had you. We were up in my bedroom, laying on my bed, and there was, I don't even know who it was, but there was a guy lying next to me, and then I was in the middle, and you were on the other side of me. And you and I were kind of like making out and whatever, fooling around a little bit. And then you said to the other guy, hey, you want to fuck her?
Yeah, well, yeah, and exactly, and that's what's so
And I was
beautiful
like,
about it.
I was, you know, as women, we're afraid to be judged for being a slut. So for me, I was always like looking for the guy who could embrace my being a slut, you know, who enjoyed it, not just tolerated it,
Yeah.
not just, oh, you can do this for now, but then when you're mine, you can't do that anymore,
Right.
you know, not like, oh, you mean you fucked other guys and then I'm supposed to fuck you after you fucked other guys? Like, you know, as a slut, there's a lot of guys out there who will judge for that.
Absolutely.
So the guy says, yeah, I want to fuck her. And he's like, but I don't have a condom. And you say, oh, wait, I have one in my pants downstairs. So you went downstairs and got a condom so that I could fuck the other guy.
Totally.
And then the whole time I was fucking the other guy, you were grabbing my hair. You were whispering in my ear, you dirty slut, you know. You were just like, you know, I don't know, choking me. But the whole time, which was really fun, the whole time I was fucking the other guy, you and I were so connected.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good. And I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, and that, exactly, like that, and that is an experience I'd never had before.
Uh-huh.
But it just seemed like we were on the same page. You know, the guy walks up, and in my mind, I'm just like, here we go. This is, let's see how this goes. And, you know, as I mentioned, sort of in that last podcast, that I am definitely the kind of person I enjoyed hearing if you cheated on me. I've always been that kind of person, so, which is also rare on this side.
Yeah.
Most people think you're nuts to be up for sharing, you know? What if she likes some other guy better? Well, that's going to happen anyway. You know, that happens to anybody, but why don't we both enjoy the act of sharing? Because, quite frankly, that's the kind of connection that rises above and beyond this, you know, physicality. So that means that at the end of the day, even if you did get to enjoy something different and new, it's not, it doesn't affect, or it doesn't diminish what we do.
Exactly.
And I've just been a firm believer in that. So to get to actually live out that experience and just sort of be confident and be connected to someone through that experience, I mean, that was like, holy shit, like, is this what people are doing? Is this what I've been missing out on? Like, this is incredible.
Oh my God.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's lots of people that are 10 years in to this world and this space and still haven't found those deep connections. But we lucked out.
We did luck out.
You know, absolutely lucked out.
I consider myself very lucky.
And same here. So that was just a totally incredible experience. And then after that was over, we just sat there, we played, we did our thing.
We talked until 5 a.m.
Oh, right, because and I then had
you
to
took
fly.
A, then you took a flight.
Yeah, and you know, that's exactly the best part, right? That's one of the best parts is do this whole thing knowing in the morning I had to fly out to visit relatives. And so, you know, we stayed up. I got up in the morning and, you know, went back to Vanilla Land and packed my bags and flew to see family. Like it never happened or something.
I don't know. It was great. You texted me the whole weekend.
Yeah, and that
which was really awesome.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, it's rare that you get to just connect and meet with somebody and then immediately feel like, all right, you know, let's start communicating. And
I don't think I ever told you, but for whatever reason, it was so easy. There was never like, oh, is he going to text me? Or, oh, should I text him? It just kind of like really fell into place, you know? And then we started hanging out every weekend and, you know, I would be like, hey, you want to go to this party? And you'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, hey, you want to go to Brooklyn for the weekend with my girlfriend, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And because
it felt pretty easy.
It was very easy. And I'm very much like, I'm just always on the go. I like to do things, you know? I like to go to concerts, go to shows, go to parties, just be with the people. And again, you know, with your personalities and interests lining up, you know, it was really great because you like to do things.
I like to do the same things.
And just party and meet people and do all these things. And, you know, you're looking at me, showing me a video of some cool venue in Brooklyn that throws parties. And you're like, hey, would you like to go to this? And, you know, meanwhile, I'm telling all my friends, oh my God, I'm going to this amazing, cool-ass situation in Brooklyn. And
with two like, slutty bitches.
Oh, yes, that's right. You know, we brought, like, one of our favorite homegirls who is, like, just the best thing ever. And she's super fun and crazy, good crazy.
Yeah.
And I get to go to this incredible venue to party in New York City with these two badass bitches. And she's like, and you're like, do you want to go? Would you be interested in this? Like, hell yeah. Yeah,
well, so. Let me tell you how, in the 10 years that I was single, I occasionally would invite someone to go with me as a partner to a party and had terrible experiences. They didn't show up. They stood by my side and didn't talk all night like I had to babysit a child. Or one time, a guy left me at a party when I would invite people to go with me. So for me to invite you, first of all, was a big thing because I would like I would just roll with my girl, you know, because yeah. I know what she's going to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but you showed up on time with enthusiasm. We partied all night. We put my girl on the Sibian machine.
Oh.
And I was choking her and pulling her hair and you were smacking her tits and she just squirted all over. I think they applauded when we got done.
That's right.
It was so hot.
Yeah, it was
so much fun.
You know, the Weeknd's playing in the background, you know, which is incredible. yeah, our girl's
that's a band for those who don't know. But,
yeah,
okay.
Well, if you don't know the Weeknd, you got to find out because uh-huh. That's like the best background music for scening I think I've ever heard. yeah, it's such just an incredible experience, and to be able, you know how it is, traveling with a new partner it can go a lot of ways.
And
it was just an incredible overall experience. We did all that. You know, once or twice, you ran into people you knew, which was just kind of a fun, random experience to see that your network is even up in New York City. I was very impressed by that. And then we went back after that, and we spent some time just kind of partying in random places throughout New York City. After
and I remember,
our play party.
Oh, right.
Right.
That was really fun.
And then
just party till 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Absolutely. We got some random clubs, and then we went home, and we tied you up.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And shoved large objects.
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh.
We busted out the bed straps mm-hmm. and pinned you down and just tried to shove things in you.
Yeah, that was very exciting.
Torture.
Yeah. So after that, maybe you can say about you asking me out to dinner and why you did that. And we went out to dinner.
Well, you know, I clearly, honed in and taken some real interest. And one of the things I noticed on your profile was that you said that, you know, if you're really interested, then you know, if you really want to be something, then at least to you, then take you out to dinner, ask you out for a date, you know.
Right.
It wasn't like buy me dinner if you want this, but it was just more like if you're interested, then like step up and say so. And I mean, I of course was absolutely interested, and how could I not be? And I just asked you out, and we got together.
I hear a lot of women complain about this, you know, like we had been hanging out and everything, but you really did ask me out for a date then.
Absolutely.
After we'd been hanging out. And you told me that you had read my profile and you understood that I can just fuck and that's fine and fun and, you know, we can just be fuck buddies, that's fine. But if you really want to know me, go on a date. No, so that's what you did. And when we were eating, you said, I just want you to know that I'm interested, and I don't know where this would go, but I do want you to know that I'm interested in knowing you as a person, and you know, I'm interested in hanging out and seeing where things go. And it was so wonderful just to know you do have this knack, Daddy, of just letting me know where I stand and letting me know where things are with us. So that communication, I think, is so important. You know, I don't know why do people think it's so hard to say, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm into you, let's see where this goes. It wasn't like...
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
No, that's all it took. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm interested in you. I'm really curious to see what can happen with us.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, cool. Then we knew we were on the same page.
Yeah, it was really nice.
And my girlfriend showed up and you guys were making out. It was so funny. But that was a side note. Yeah, my other girl, not the same girl, but another girl. Yeah, I have like, a lot of girlfriends. That's anyway. So then the next thing, big thing that happened, we hung out some more. And then the girl that went to Brooklyn with us was hosting a little party at her house. And we met and had dinner at her house. And then we went to a Philadelphia fetish event where it was a BDSM event. And at that BDSM event, there was no sexual contact. It was all BDSM. And so we went and we seemed a little bit there, but definitely, you know, watching all of that just, oh, makes you so hot.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot of energy. Just a lot of great energy. A
lot of great energy and just watching people scene and scening ourselves a bit. And there was a guy who came, I guess we'll just call him Master D. And he had come down from New York City.
Pretty fun guy. We had...
Everybody clicked?
Yeah, everybody clicked. You know, we run into him previously, and everybody just clicked. We had a great time. We even had a person join the group who hadn't gone to the event with us.
When we went back to the house. Yeah.
And I think she had some fun while we were all gone with somebody. And so when we came back, her sexual energy was there as well. And yeah, we just had a great group.
There's like three or four women and... You and Master D.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, it had intrigued me, and he had intrigued me. He had, like, a ton of equipment and that kind of stuff.
And experience.
And when we were all playing, I think that you and him both, you know, were, like, beating me and the other girl or alternating or doing it together. Like, it was really fun. I was really excited. So... This is, you know, kind of hard to admit, but I asked Master D to scene with me, and he kind of asked the question like, oh, well, I thought you were with him. And I was like, well, we're casual play partners. So Master D then proceeded to scene with me, and... It got really intense, and it lasted like 2 hours, and I was blindfolded and bound for an hour, and especially when I was blindfolded, Daddy, I could feel you around me, and I could feel like, oh, fuck, what the fuck, like, I am in this submission scene, completely aroused with another person, and like, uh-oh, like, I was like, I don't know how to get out of this, I don't know how to break this scene, I don't know how to come out of the subspace to mentally deal with this, like, I realized that I had made a mistake, because I guess I didn't realize that the submission would go like that. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard. I mean, a lot of our experiences in this space, once you're in, it's not like you're trapped in it or anything, but it's just such a, again, you know, sort of cerebral type of experience that you're engulfed in it, and it takes some time to snap out of it. That's
yeah,
why
I got engulfed. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, we have sort of what do we call it, our sort of recovery time,
our aftercare
like, you know, sometimes you live it a lot but you sort of forget what to call it. You know, so even that's why we have the aftercare speed, that time, because it's not something you just snap out of or come back to your senses. It takes time, and that's very understandable. And you know, I think, you know, for me going through that experience,
I could hear you playing with other people, but I felt you kept checking in on me.
Yeah, and you know, I try to be very cognizant, you know, and that goes back to sort of that intellectual sort of dom piece where I'm always it's very important for me to try to be in the head of my submissive and understand the experience that she's going through. So even in that moment, while it was sort of this awkward thing, because while we were doing our thing and we'd been scening and we have this great connection, we hadn't really, I guess, gone to that space where we're saying, you know, you're not doing this, or what is the procedure for something like scening with someone else. And, you know, I think
we hadn't communicated a lot.
Yeah, we hadn't really prepared ourselves for that yet. And at that point, I think we were just kind of like, you know, when we were playing together, we played together. When we weren't, we weren't. And in that moment, I was kind of like, oh, shit, you know, I guess we hadn't really addressed this. What do I do? And, you know, I'm not the type of person to just spaz out. You know, everything we're doing here is very thought out. There's patience. There's just
you're patient.
Well, okay, so I'm patient, and there's time to be pensive, and that's just sort of my method. So I wasn't going to spaz out. I just sort of took that moment, and I saw you in that moment, and I understood, you know, what are you going to do now? It's definitely sort of an, oh, shit, well, we're here. And I'm not going to, you know, again, not spaz out or try to ruin a good experience. Because, again, this is also someone with a lot of experience and procedures and equipment. And it's a pleasure to get to experience that.
Right.
You know, we're all here because we want to experience things, learn things, develop, evolve. And this is a great opportunity to really experience something great with a guy that I have met before and have hung out with and think is fantastic. So for me, it's a safe thing as well.
So I guess I think it's really important for our listeners or anybody who's new to this to realize that, you know, you as, you know, you weren't officially my dom, I guess, at that point, but you were watching and didn't want to interrupt my pleasure or cause a scene or be an asshole, you know, because you cared about me.
And I was having fun, too.
But you also knew that there was going to have to be something to be addressed.
Absolutely.
But you weren't being an ass about it, or you weren't abusive about it, or you weren't, I don't know. Like, I just love that about you. Because a lot of people find that doms are abusive, and they don't quite understand what's abuse, you know. But to know that you have my well-being at your heart, I can trust you so much.
And that's very important. I mean, I always have your well-being in mind, even when, no matter what I'm doing to you.
no matter how bad you're hurting
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
I've come to love that, yes.
Absolutely. I'm always thinking about you. And so that was very important. So we had a wonderful night, great experiences. I did sort of, you know, while I... You know, I say all of this now, of course, but in the moment, it took me a while to process and everything, but I did finally sort of join back in.
Yep.
You
kind
just,
of said, like...
Yeah, you know, like
this, I'm here,
yeah,
you know.
I'm here, I'm going to participate, and, you know, in the back of my mind, we'll just sort of... Obviously, we have some things to address, and we can address those, but it doesn't have to be addressed right now. So I decided to...
And then the three of us had a great time.
Exactly.
And yeah,
so
really
I jumped
did.
Back in, and the three of us had an amazing time. And, you know, me and Master D, we came at the same time.
Yeah.
It was incredible, you know? And again, I love this guy. So we ended up with a wonderful experience, and I was fucking you, and we were blowing him, and... We both looked at each other, and we came at the same time. And, like,
Fuck.
When does that shit ever happen?
Right.
And that's the benefit of just keeping, you know, a cool head.
Yeah.
And just working through it. I know that we're going to work this out and talk because we've been communicating. And I've gotten to know you. And you're trusting me and I'm trusting you. So, you know, really, the sort of how, at least from my perspective, how we that closed out was, you know, I did just take a moment to say that while I enjoyed this, we're going to have to talk. And maybe you can word it a little differently, but...
No, that's not my recollection. My recollection is I got the air mattress. We were all in the living room and I fell asleep and passed out because, you know, that was fucking exhausting. And you and Master D stayed up and watched, I don't know what, like chatted all night long.
That's right. Watched Black Panther or some
Black
shit.
Panther, right. So then I woke up and you were asleep on the sofa and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, this is not good. I think Mr. D got up and left and no one else was around. I think everyone else was still sleeping. And I said, oh, will you come lie with me? So you slowly got up. Oh, my God. I remember this in such a vivid detail. You slowly got up and got in the air mattress and you put your arms around me and you were hugging me. You're hugging me tight. And you just said really calmly, I am so fucking mad at you right now. And I just burst into tears. Because I was like, I know, like, you should be. This is all on me. Like, I know what I did wrong. I misrepresented our relationship. I didn't know that I was going to be, I didn't pull myself out of it. I didn't, like, there was a lot of choices I could have made. I didn't ask permission. I didn't check in with you. I didn't include you. You know, like, there were so many things that in the moment, I couldn't have done, but reflecting on it, I was like, you're so right to be mad at me. Like, you're so right to be mad at me. And I just was crying. I just instantly cried. And there was something so amazing about you saying, I'm so fucking mad at you while you were hugging me. You know? Like, it was like, I kind of was like, wow, like, he really cares about me. Like, he's not screaming at me. He's not hitting me out of anger. He's, you know, he's just lovingly holding me. And you said to me, I can't do this if you're going to keep seeking. Like, if you're going to keep looking to other men to fulfill that submissive need of yours, I'm not going to get hurt in this process. You know, we're all afraid, I think, of being rejected. And I was like sobbing. I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to fuck this up because I'm scared. I'm scared of just letting go and trusting. You know, we all bring baggage from other relationships. And, you know, like, am I really going to fuck this up and, you know, and miss out on this amazing man because I'm afraid of getting hurt?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And
you were kind of like, and so, like, I want to withdraw. That's my thing. I withdraw and run away. And so I was like, do you want to ride home? Or I'll just, my girl was like, stay for breakfast. I'm like, no, you know? And she's like, you stay for breakfast. I got all this food. And then I looked at her and she could see I was crying. And I was like, I can't stay. I have to leave because I was so upset. And you said to me, give me a ride home. And we got in the car and you said, we're going to breakfast and we're going to talk. And I was like, I can't go to breakfast. I can't. I'm a fucking mess. I fucked up. I blew this. Like, you know, like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. I'm so scared. And we fucking went to breakfast.
Yeah. And just talked about what our plans were, where we were going to go with us.
It was kind of like, yeah. And then I think you said to me, like, I want to call you. Like, I want you to be mine.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I want to be clear. Like, I want to own you. And I was so, like, wow, I have never wanted to be owned more in my life.
No.
Like, you're so amazing. Aww. You do so many things right. And I was like, do not let being afraid of being hurt stand in the way of this opportunity. You just have to take a leap, you know? And I felt like at that moment I did. I took a leap. Now, it's not that the fear doesn't creep back in or, you know, issues come up. I mean, it's not like la-la happily ever after. But, I mean, it is pretty much la-la happily ever after. But there are issues that definitely do come up. Yeah. But that moment of just, oh, feeling owned in such a way, like an emotional owning. Like I'm entrusting my mind, body, and spirit to you. Like I'm giving that to you. And I know that you are like a great steward. Steward? You know?
Steward.
Steward? A great holder.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of steward that. Of your submission.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it was very important for me to, in that moment, just be real, raw, and vulnerable with you.
Mm.
You know, I think that, and that again goes back to you being sort of that kind of dom that is reading the subject and saying, you know, sometimes this is what you need. Sometimes you need a firm hand, but you also need to know that I care and that I'm willing to be vulnerable and just let you see that side of me so you understand that I'll be there for you, but I'm also going to tie you up and, you know, hit you with these things. And so that was very important. That was a very important part of that experience for me. It was just making sure that you understood that I cared, that, you know, even if you fuck up in my mind, that doesn't mean that it's some, you know, some huge emergency and we've got to, you know, cut this shit off. It's just, all right, we're together. It's going to be fine. I'm going to beat you good for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know.
Yeah. And I don't like I don't like those beatings. True. I don't like those punishment beatings are not, no, they're not the good ones.
But it was important for you to know that I care and I'm here. And
but let me just say the punishment beatings are the transformative ones.
That's true.
So. Yeah. We'll get to that at another time.
Absolutely.
I think the other piece is that we've learned to communicate with the BDSM and the spanking and the DS. So I just am curious, as a dom and being vulnerable, I think sometimes people don't think that those coexist or that those go together or that doms are able to show their vulnerability. Yeah. I mean, was that hard for you or are you just like, this is real?
Well, you know, I'm always me, you know. I have no problem about, you know, masculinity or feeling safe or comfortable with myself. And especially with all the reading that I did, you start to realize that being a dom isn't about just being tough.
Or being physically dominant.
Right, and just aggressive and all of that all the time. That's not really what it means. You know, there's this intellectual piece. So it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to show all of the sides of you, show that you are an intellectual being and that you are emotional and all of that. Because if you don't understand emotions, if you don't have them, it may be hard for you sometimes to respond to your submissive and whatever she's going through or he's going through at the time. If you're having a tough couple of weeks for several reasons, that's going to affect how much pain you can take or just sort of your overall demeanor. And sometimes, you know, a beating can't resolve that. You need to understand what's going on first. So it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be more than just this dominant, aggressive person.
Well, pretty amazing. I feel really lucky.
Same here.
So that's pretty much the pivotal moment where really the committed, collaring, submissive, dominant came. And I guess we will be talking about some of the activities that we enjoy, probably a little bit more about relationship ups and downs. And we definitely are going to do some party reviews. And we've been, one of the reasons why this has taken so long to get recorded is that you and I have been out nude camping, nude beaching, clothed camping, Atlantic City.
Absolutely.
Naked pool parties. So we've been having a lot of fun.
Yeah, having a partner that likes to do all the things is fantastic. And we have had some amazing experiences, and the people that we've had along with us for some of these great experiences, smiling from ear to ear every time, lets us know that some of those stories are going to be really fun to tell you guys too.
Well, can't wait till next time, and hopefully it won't be so long. Right, Daddy?
Right, absolutely.
Bye, listeners.
Bye-bye.